Thank you, Cindy. Good morning. Let's take some time to just breathe together. It's been a pretty wild week. There's a lot of energy ramping up for tomorrow. In the midst of it, let's just feel ourselves anchored in Source, in love, in peace, in joy. And so breathing, relaxing, settling, feel your shoulders drop. Drop your jaw. Relax your hands, your feet. Let us rest in this moment of now. For in each moment, there is this place, this sacred space of beingness. Just being. Breathing, allowing. Relaxing, and if there's a place of tension or tightness or discomfort or pain, breathe there. And if there's thoughts coming through, just let them go. Just let them move on through. Breathing and allowing, and be aware that in this moment where there's so much going on, there's still this place where stillness, where beingness can be. Always there. Always available. Breathing and allowing. And if there's something going on for you, some circumstance, some issue, some challenge, breathe there. Breathe and allow. See the doors and windows opening to allow in the fresh air, blowing in a new possibility, a new perspective, a new understanding, a new acceptance. Breathing, allowing. And we'll take a moment, just a moment in the silence, to really feel it. breathing and allowing. Feeling our connection with Source, with Divine Essence, with God. And from this place, we are reminded of those who could use this space, the energy of this space, the love and healing of this space right now. Or maybe someone you know who's going through a challenge, an uphill climb. And as we know, our connectedness to Source may not be the first thing we think of in the midst of the challenge. And so because we're all one, we can hold it for them. We can hold that truth of them, that power of them, that peace of them. And if it feels comfortable to you and you want to bring their energy into this space with us, feel free to mention their names. And I'm going to bring our dear Betty into this now, who's been in the hospital. We send her our love in this moment. Who would you like to bring into this space? Feel free to say their name. We hold all of those mentioned in love and light, that as we feel this connection to Source in this moment, as we breathe and allow the truth of us as beingness, each person mentioned feels it too, experiences it, body, mind, and spirit. And we also draw in our brothers and sisters, a part of the spiritual community, a part of our community at large, our country, our planet, the universe, that as we breathe this holy breath, all forms of life are lifted up. And in this moment of now, we are grateful, and so it is. Amen.
I'm here to help you awake to one.
That was beautiful. Thank you. You have an angel voice, doesn't she? You all are blessed to have her here. Well, good morning. Change my glasses here. I can't see a thing. I thought maybe I'd give us a preview of what we'll all be doing about this time tomorrow. Which way is the sun? That's where everybody is. They're all down in Oregon, right? Well, they can tell us all about it. How are you? It's good to see you. Sunday morning, joy looks amazing on you. That's one of the blessings of getting to be up here, and I recommend everybody should come up here. One of these times, Cindy, we should have everybody file up here and get to look out at these beautiful faces. It's really a gift. It is. Well, you've heard me say this before. Things are getting interestinger and interestinger. Have you noticed? So why in the world would I be talking about joy today? I mean, what is this, Pollyanna time? What am I, in denial? Why would I be talking about joy at a time like this? It's the best time, isn't it? It totally is the best time. Why? Because that's who we ultimately are. That's what life is ultimately all about. And it's easy to forget in these times, isn't it? Joy is not the word you're hearing. In fact, joy is a word we do not say very often. Except at Christmas, joy to the world, right? We sing it and it's on the Christmas cards and everything, and it's on the trees and the lights and all that. Do you hear the word much any other time of the year? We sang it today. Thank you for the reminder. Well, I think that was intentional. Joy is a state of being. It's who we ultimately are. Jesus said, I come so that my joy causes your joy to be complete. And isn't it interesting that for most of us, joy tends to sit on the back burner of our lives? And very often, it's not even simmering. Is that true? Yeah. Why do you think that is? I was looking at some quotes and things about joy that you do in preparation for a talk, and came across this one from Abraham Hicks, you know. You have been oriented that you must pay a price in order to get somewhere, and in the process, you've come to believe that getting there must be really important. Therefore, it must be your purpose. And we say, but if you're not getting to joy, then you've gotten nowhere. Joy is where you're really going. And so when you consider that joy is where we're really going, and that for most of us, joy isn't a part of our experience on a regular basis, do you see why many of us are sad, are depressed, are lonely and confused, are angry? Are raising our fists with torches? because we're operating outside of our joy. Does that ring true for you? And so then our task becomes, when we see this, when we feel this, then our task becomes, rather than sitting in judgment about it, or pointing our fingers and saying over there, they're wrong. I know none of you have been doing that. But instead of putting our energy into that, putting our energy into taking the joy off the back burner, putting it up front and turning it on high. Why? Because what's going on in the world is telling us it is more than time. And that as you and I raise up the temperature of love and peace and joy in our own lives, what do we draw to us? What do we invite in each other? Yeah. The last thing we want to do is to walk around in fear and anger and judgment and doubt. Because what does that draw in each other? Hello. And it looks to me like we have enough of that. It looks to me like we're out of balance. Would you agree? Yeah. And so we look at joy. We say, well, you know, that almost sounds kind of funny. Joy. Charles Fillmore said, joy is the happiness of God expressed through his perfect idea, man, woman, human. Joy is strength-giving, especially if the mind is fixed on the things of the spirit. Well, why is it that joy seems so far away? I started thinking about that, and I was reading a little bit, and I was reading, have you ever read Alan Cohen's Joy is My Compass? It's a wonderful little book. It's a real easy read, and it's a wonderful one to pick up if you're wanting to feel into the energy of joy. And Alan speaks about Jesus, and he says, Jesus had one goal, to love everyone he met so purely that they would catch his vision of their perfection. And he says, in contrast, much of our religious practice is motivated by fear, guilt, and a sense of distance between ourselves and God. Creation-centered spirituality, acknowledging that spirit lives within us and expresses itself as us. So much of the religious experience and religious history, and that which you and I experienced as we were growing up, is that God is way out there. Jesus is way out there. Holy Spirit is way out there. And there's only a connection if that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have mercy. That we are the dust of the earth. And what we come to understand as we grow and evolve in consciousness is that that is not true. That is not what Jesus was saying. Jesus never said anything like that. When we think about the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, you're familiar with that symbol, aren't you? Where are you in that symbol? Do you know? The Son? I'm going to suggest to you that where you and I are in that symbol is right here in the center. In the center. In the center. And that we are embraced by creation. We are embraced. We are flanked. We are completely surrounded
by divine love, divine light, by creativity, by possibility, by blessing, by healing. There is no separation. There cannot be any separation. We are the center in the Trinity. There is no separation. And that's something we can be joyful about, especially if you were brought up with a sort of training that says that you're down here somewhere and it's only if God's feeling like it that you're going to be considered, that you're going to be saved. You are the center of life. You are the center. And that isn't about arrogance. That isn't about narcissism. Do you get that? The thing that narcissism and arrogance is about is puffing ourselves up because we don't know that we're the center of the Trinity. Do you see that? What we're seeing out there in our world that looks like bullying is coming from a place that is so afraid and feels so small that it needs to lash out to try to validate itself. And what you and I can do about this in the moment, moment to moment, is to claim our place in the center of the Trinity, the center of life essence, whatever you hold. Maybe you don't hold the Trinity, that's fine. But that you understand that you are the center of life. You are the vehicle, the vessel by which divine essence, by which source expresses in this life. That's what life forms are. Unique, endless expressions of source. And what feels like it's happening is the teachings that have been on this planet and in our life experience for so long are finally going to get their comeuppance because they're not true. The ones that say we're something other than the center. It's not working. Have you noticed? And it's getting noisy and messy, and it will. And my guess is it will get even noisier and messier. But do not let that cause you fear or doubt. It has to shake loose in order to make room for what is true about us, about life, about Source. So then, why aren't we joyful? One of the things I've come to realize is, who has no problem being joyful? Our children. Aren't they? We were watching this morning in the fairy line, we were watching this little girl who must have been, I don't know, was she about two? She had a little stuffed seal in her hand, and she was... They were going to walk on the ferry, and it was time for them to be there, and Daddy had the stroller, and he was going along, and she was walking, and I don't think she's been walking all that long, and she's just so amazed about life, you know, everything, just everything, and he's, come on, come on, and she's running, and then she has to stop and look because she saw something else. Or like, you know, you see a puppy or a kitten or anything, they're so interested in all the most amazing smells and things that they're seeing for the first time. Life is new, and they're just amazed by it. And after we've been on the planet for a while, well, sometimes that amazement starts to wane, doesn't it? And what I'm going to suggest to you is one of the ways to get your joy back is to become amazed again. We're already halfway through August. Tomorrow we're going to see something most folks on the planet have never seen in this country, right? Are you excited about that? You all have your glasses? Then don't look at it. Or if you make the box with the pinhole or the, you know, that thing, don't look at it. If you don't have the certified glasses, this is just a public service announcement, don't look at it. It's serious. If you don't have the right thing, don't look at it. It's going to be dark anyway. We're going to see an amazing moment. It's a moment that is about the universe and how the universe works, coming close up, close and personal to us tomorrow morning. And I invite you to let your child come right front and center and get excited about it. It may feel kind of weird when it gets dark at 10 o'clock or 10:30 or whatever it is. It may feel strange and weird. It may cause you to feel strange. We may hear the roosters start crowing at that time. We don't know. But enjoy it. You're in the midst of something exciting, some part of how the universe works moment to moment all the time, whether we're paying attention or not. It's our opportunity to experience it very close tomorrow morning. Let your child come forth. Be amazed. Let your amazement come out again. When was the last time you were amazed? These mornings we have at this time of year are amazing. They're so beautiful. They're so crystal. And wasn't it amazing after the rain and the smoke went away? We could see the mountains again. Weren't you amazed? The clear air, that blue sky that we have. These little things that seem so simple are ways that feed our joy to be alive. And that doesn't mean that we're not experiencing issues with finances or our arthritis or, you know, the fall that Betty had in the hospital, and she's in the hospital. And, I mean, people have stuff going on. They do. We do. But we can also have moments of peace and amazement and joy and gratitude for life itself. And that energy feeds those areas that are challenged. Do you get that? There's no separation there. We don't need to feel guilty about feeling joyful because our friend Betty is ill. The best way we can help our friend is to be joyful and send it her way. Right? Questions or comments about that? Isn't that true? And my friends, it's difficult to feel joy and peace. When for entertainment, we watch violence. Hate to say it, but it's something that takes up a lot of our time. And I know we all have our favorite shows, but think about this. In your mind's eye, think about this. How can we create or call forth a peaceful world is if we're looking at violence for entertainment? Duh. Right? Hello? How can we expect our young people to grow up and create a peaceful world when what they're doing is watching violence on TV, when they're computer games, they go to school and they're taught history, and the history they're taught is about wars and memorizing dates of wars. How can we expect our children to create a different world if we force them to memorize the mistakes we've made? Do you see what I mean? I mean, there are changes to be made. And so I invite you, and you're going to say, "That darn you, Joanna, why did you even say anything about that?" But when you're watching whatever show it is tonight, why did she say that? I want you to think about that. Think about what you're watching, what you're putting in. Years ago, when I worked at the foundation with Neil Donald Walsh in Ashland, do you know who Kathy Mattea is? She's a country singer. She was a big fan of the Conversations with God books, and so she happened to be doing a concert in Medford, Oregon, and so she had her people call the foundation and send us tickets to her concert. And I'd never heard Kathy Mattea sing, and so we went to hear her sing. And she was great, but she had this song. And the song was, and maybe you know it if you know her work, it's called "My Mind Is Not a Junkyard." That was the name of the song. And it was so amazing because she was talking right about this, about seeing violence through her eyes into her mind, seeing people hurt each other, harm each other, kill each other with knives and guns and saying horrible things to each other. And she said, my mind is not a junkyard. I don't want this. I don't want to put this in there. And I thought it was a really conscious statement to make. And it's on iTunes if you ever want to hear it. You and I have a responsibility in this moment of now. Whether or not a part of your journey is going out and marching in the street, and if it is, good for you. And if it's writing checks to support different groups, good for you. And if it's voting, good for you. And if it's running for office, good for you. But the thing that we can, and some of you will do that, and that's great and good for you. But the thing we can all do is claim our presence in the center of the Trinity, of the circle, of life, of the garden. Claiming the truth of us there and choosing from there, living from there, living in your joy. If you say you don't know where your connection to God is, where is your joy? Because I promise you, if you find your joy, there is your connection to Source. There's where it is. Maybe when you were a child, you wanted to be a skydiver. And maybe everyone told you, you can't do that. You'll just break your leg and you'll never be able to work. You can't make a living doing that. So now here we are, a good piece down the road. Maybe we can't be a skydiver now, but what does lift you? What does make your heart soar? There's your joy. And dear ones, we all need it in our lives, especially now. Have you ever read any Mark Nepo? He's a wonderful writer and poet. He went through a really challenging health situation and really opened up his heart and his soul, his consciousness. And he's written a lot of beautiful poetry, and I love to read his poetry, and it's very much brings the joy up for me. And this is one called Coming Out. While there is much to do, we are not here to do. Under the want to problem solve is the need to being solve. Often with full being, the problem goes away. The seed being solves its darkness by blossoming. The heart being solves its loneliness by loving whatever it meets. The tea being solves the water by becoming tea. And may your tea be joyful, especially now. Have fun tomorrow. Don't look at it if you don't have your glasses, okay? Any blessings? Thank you, everyone.